اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي وانفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا زدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us the tawfiq, for allowing us to sit here and to take benefit from the beautiful words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded in His books in the beautiful Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding and deep lessons from the Book of Allah, allow us to implement them in our lives, and allow us to be led by the Quran in this life and the hereafter into Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, we'll continue from where we left off last time. So, just to give you all just a reminder, we spoke about the first and foremost, the first ayah of Surah Al-Anbiya, which speaks about the main job of the Prophet ﷺ, which is to tell people about the hereafter. No one has any clue about what's going to happen after a person dies, and the Prophets come to inform us, and they tell us about the purpose of our existence is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this life is temporary, and the next life is permanent, it's eternal. So that's the first thing we learned. The second thing that we spoke about was the fact that the Prophet ﷺ had to receive so many different, you know, it's difficult words, if to say the least, that his community would say so many things against him, call him a magician, call him a madman, call him this and that, as many names as they could spit out. And then we spoke about how that actually shows that they don't know what to say about him. We spoke about that in detail, that the fact that they can't seem to come to agreement to, you know, to say something about him, and all this propaganda that they're spreading about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a testament to the fact that they just could not accept the fact that he was a real prophet, right? And we spoke about that, how it's not conceivable that it could be dreams, it's not conceivable that it could be poetry, it's not conceivable for this and that. It has to be the fact that he's really a messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we spoke about how some people would say it's because of dunya. The Prophet ﷺ was out for dunya, and we showed you how there's no way that the Prophet ﷺ was out for the world, from the life that he lived, for anything, okay? And having said all those things, what happens is that we notice that, you know, the Quraysh at their time had said so many lies about Islam. And the main lesson message is this, the crucial message is this, is that no matter what people say about Islam, it's not going to stop it from spreading. It's not going to stop it from delivering its message. Because you and I are not the ones who are pushing the message forward. Allah Ta'ala is. Allah Ta'ala says, لِيُظْهِرُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. He will make this deen be on top of, become superior, or attain supremacy over all other religions in the world. This is the reality of Islam. As long as people continue to speak this deen, practice this deen, it will spread. There's no stopping it, no matter what people say. They tried in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when Islam was so weak, it's described in the Quran, لِيُطْفِيُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَائِهِمْ, that they wanted to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths. You can blow out the candle. That's how weak Islam was. And at that moment, you think that Islam will be defeated, but you see that Islam is spread. The Prophet ﷺ, with very few followers, now has over 1.6 billion in the world, mashallah ta'ala. Alright? This is the Allah Ta'ala's fadl, but it requires that you and I don't be scared. It will spread as long as we continue to speak the message. Okay? So Islam never just survives. It thrives. And I mean this. I spoke to a lot of interfaith people last week and a couple of weeks before, and I just see a lot of fear. They're just so scared, so worried, so nervous about the future. And I'm like, aren't you people of religion? Aren't you people of God? Like, don't you trust that Allah has everything in His hands? Like, everything is fine? You know, and you go into their church or synagogue, whatever, Asman Zameen Farq, really. It's a completely different feeling. You come here, you're like, wow, Muslims are just, we've been doing the same exact thing. We haven't stopped. And you go to them, it's like life is about to, you know, break apart. There's no other reason for living and all these different things. And you'll notice that, mashallah, even during the pandemic situation, people find that their iman has grown stronger. They find that things have become better. And this is how Allah Ta'ala does. You trust Him, He takes care of you. وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever trusts Allah, Allah is enough for him. May Allah make us like that, such people, inshallah. So now we continue from ayah number 6. So the last thing the Quraysh said was, they said that بَلْ قَالُوا أَدْغَاثُ أَحْلَامُ. It's just a jumble of dreams. بَلْ افْتَرَى. He's making it up. بَلْ هُوَ شَاعِرٌ. It's poetry. He's a poet. فَلْيَأْتِنَا بِآيَةٍ كَمَا أُرْسِلَ الْأَوَّلُونَ. We want a sign like the people of the previous nations. Give us what the other people had. We want that type of stuff. You know, give me the staff of Moses. Give me the staff of Musa, alayhi salam. Give me the ring of Suleiman. I want these kinds of things, you know. I want you, hey, Muhammad, revive the dead for me. You know, they want this type of stuff. They want, hey, this camel, I want to see a camel come out of this mountain. All these amazing signs they want. Okay, so Allah Ta'ala responds to them. He already responded to them. He says in this ayah, مَا أَمَنَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَفَهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ مَا أَمَنَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ Not a single town before them believed. أَهْلَكْنَاهُمْ We destroyed them. أَفَهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ Are these people so special? Is everyone, does everyone think they're a special snowflake? That we're always the special one that, you know, if God gives me the sign, if Allah gives me the sign, I will definitely believe in it. So Allah is telling them, look, the track record for human beings is never a good record. It's never been good about receiving miracles. Every single time a community has asked, the people of Thamud, they asked for the camel. It came out of the mountain. And instead of respecting this miracle of Allah and honoring the fact that Allah produced a camel from a mountain, and then afterwards the camel came gave birth, they asked for one camel, Allah gave them two camels, because that's who Allah is. You ask Him, He just gives you more than what you asked, right? And they see these two miracles of Allah, and they, you know, they say, you know what? Let's just kill them. They slaughter the camels. They don't have any respect for any of the signs of Allah. Look at what happened to Musa alayhi salam. He literally comes with magic, which is greater than, or he literally comes with a miracle, which is greater than any other magic of the time of Fir'aun. He shows them things, sign after sign after sign. Allah gave him fi tis'i ayatin, 9 signs to Fir'aun. 9 signs. From everything you can imagine. From even the, some scholars say that the fire rained down from the skies. And then when Musa alayhi salam made dua, the fire would stop. Like things were just, you can't explain any of these things. But what happened to Fir'aun? No one's gonna believe. Like, look, Allah is saying, Quraysh, I'm doing you a favor here. This is the ayah. The ayah is telling them, Quraysh, I'm doing you a favor here. Don't ask for such nonsense. Because no one else from before you believed. You're not gonna be any different than that. Okay? So then Allah says, okay, and this ayah, this is why I stopped a little earlier last week, because I came to this ayah and I was like, oh God, I'm gonna fall into some weird problem when I explain this ayah. Let me start, inshallah, then you'll see what's gonna lead to, okay? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِ إِلَيْهِمْ Because why? Because we don't like classical tafsir. Mawlana, classical tafsir, you say Qatada, you say Mujahid, I don't want these jihadi guys, you know. Give me like modern tafsir. I want to hear like a, you know, this lady, this commentator, this Oxford and this Harvard. I want these types of universities to give me the tafsir of the Qur'an. Because the people of the past never understood it, right? So this ayah really reflects that. I'll explain it inshallah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِ إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I think mashallah, some of us who already know a little bit of Arabic, it's like, okay, I see where he's about to go right now. Okay, so I want to first explain it the way it's supposed to be explained. We did not send before you messengers, except for men, whom we inspired with revelation. So ask the people of knowledge, or the people of remembrance, if you do not know. Okay, this ayah is, we did not send before you messengers, except for men, who we gave wahi, we inspired to. Okay. So this is an ayah from Mufassirin of the past. They've all basically come to agreement that when Allah said Rijal here, He meant insan. He talked about human beings. We sent them as humans. Humans like them. So in other words, Allah could have sent angels to become messengers, or He could have sent human beings. What is the favor Allah did for all of us? He sent human beings. What an honor to humans. Because if it was an angel and he told me to pray tahajjud, and I see him making Qiyamul Layl from Isha all the way to Fajr, I'd be like, bro, I really cannot do what you're doing. Okay? You're telling me to, you know, mashallah, to worship Allah and to get married. You don't even have a wife, brother. I don't know how am I supposed to copy you. You know? You're telling me to take care of my kids. Angels don't have children. You know, there's a big problem there. Right? So that's why Allah sent you a human, because you can copy a human. It's pretty easy. The kid who wants to be a good basketball player or a cricket player, he just sees how the guy swings, you know? And he can copy that. He's like, okay, insan, wo insan hai, main insan hu, mashallah, I can do it. And so he tries, and he does it, you know? But if he was an angel, he hits it and goes like to freaking Pluto, you know? What are you supposed to do with that? So having said that, Allah said, I did you a favor. We did not send before them except for men. Men of extraordinary caliber, okay? They're beyond any human's caliber. They're beyond any man's caliber. You and I, if you and I say the Prophet was a man and we were men, we're really not making a good comparison here, because we're not showing them anything. How about who the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was? These men were beyond any human being's faculties and capabilities. Alayhim as-salam. May Allah be pleased with, may Allah send His blessing on all of them. And so this man, because a man's job is to go out and preach to the people. So Allah says, we sent them men, because the man's job is to go out and give da'wah. So this is why Allah uses that word. And He mentions it for a very specific reason. Very specific reason. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is like every other messenger. Every other messenger that was sent in the past was a man. So Allah Ta'ala says, I can prove it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, we can prove this. Fas'alu ahla dhikri, ask the people of remembrance, in kuntum la ta'alamun, if you don't know. Who is Allah Ta'ala saying to ask here? He's saying, go ask the rabbis, go ask the priests, go ask Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. Then ask them, were any messenger sent, except that he was a man? And this is the amazing thing. They were all men. There's no way the Prophet ﷺ could have known that. This is a miracle of his Quran, that he's literally showing them that he has never sat in any temple, any synagogue, any midrash, any place of sitting to learn from a rabbi. Yet he knows that all prophets from the past were also men like him. It's a miracle. This is how we normally are supposed to understand this ayah. Okay? But as soon as we heard the word man, what happens in our time? Why did Allah send a man and not a woman? Do you understand the tragedy of the fact we just lost like a beautiful message that Allah is telling us that He's honored all human beings because the prophets are from them? You know, mashallah, it's a ni'mah of Allah Ta'ala that we are human beings who are honored because the final messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is an insan like we are insan. It's an amazing feeling for all human beings, both men and women. But the only thing people get stuck up on is, why is it a man and not a woman? And this is the tragedy of this. And they ask questions like, why aren't there female prophets? And all these things. You know, and I want to, look, I don't have enough time. I really do not have enough time. I need to get through a actual tafsir of the Quran here. So I want to just mention a couple of points. I studied psychology. Okay, this is what I did in my college things, mashallah. I completely threw that away. Taraktuhu wa, you know, tadayyantu bi deen al-islam, mashallah. And I studied deen. You know, that's who I am. You know? So having said that, I'm always closely invested in studying gender studies. Because this is what everyone is only talking about. That's the only thing people care about these days. Because America is a weird place. Everything about this country is about race. And if you're white or black, okay, we had mashallah, a white man got it, so why didn't a black man get it? Okay, a man got it, why didn't a woman get it? Like, it's all this weird tokenism. I don't really understand too much. You know, Allah give us all tawfiq. I just want you all to consider these things. As Muslims, okay? Allah Ta'ala has made two genders. There are two genders in Islam. That's what Allah Ta'ala says. خَلَقَ الزَّوْجَيْنِ وَالذَّكْرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. He's created two genders, okay? There are real biological differences between genders. There are real differences between. Can anyone, any man here, can he have a baby? Okay, can we establish the fact that only women can have children? Right? That's real, right? It's not like you guys can start spitting out children from where, I don't know where you're going to spit it out from, brothers. Okay, Allah help you all, mashallah. Okay, testosterone actually exists within men. Right, and sisters have more estrogen. This is a biological fact. Testosterone leads to more aggression and anger and being more out there. And estrogen actually leads to more seclusion and things like that. These are all biological facts. I'm not lying to you or telling you anything that's not what a scientist or a doctor would tell you. It's all from biology, okay? So Islam respects that. So Islam has rules for separate genders, okay? None of you guys here, and I apologize for the children, they might not understand this anyways, but none of you guys have that time of the month where you can't pray or things like that. Only women have that, correct? Right? Sisters are supposed to wear hijab, right? Men are supposed to grow their beards, right? It's not like you go to a sister, where's your beard, sister? That'd be so weird, you know? Islam has rules for both men and women, okay? There are separate rules for this thing. You cannot say that Islam doesn't have them, because it's there. Okay, so this is the second thing we need to understand. Now in Islam, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْدَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِّمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. When a sister actually came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I think it was Salama, his own wife, radiallahu anha, she said that, you know, it's not fair that men can get to do all these things. They can go fight in the path of Allah. They can pray salah and jama'ah. They could do this and do this and do this. And we sisters are staying back home. And we're not, you know, getting that reward. They wanted the ajr of doing those things. So Allah reveals an ayah for the sisters and says, do not covet, do not desire what Allah has given some versus others. Men get what they get, and women get what they get. This is what Allah is saying. I'm not saying it. Allah is saying it. لِلْرِجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبُوا وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مِمَّا اكْتَسَبْنَ. So now the idea is both genders have superiority to one another. Both genders have superiority to one another. In certain assignments, men have some superiority. In certain assignments, women have superiority. This is what we understand as Muslims. No one ever say in Islam that a man is greater than a woman. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, men are not like women. He didn't say men are greater than women. That's not the case here. They have two different responsibilities. And as long as you are understanding that we have two different jobs and people are performing the two jobs that they need to do, what happens is when they come together, life is really happy. Life is really happy because of that. That's what Islam did. It said, we respect your biology, and because you're like a man, you have this type of responsibility, and for sisters, you have a different type. So, you know, you go do what you need to do. And so when this happens, mashallah, life works really well. Now having said all that, now when Allah Ta'ala said, رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ, except for men, we inspired them, I just told you that no man can compare to the prophets. No man could compare to the prophets. No man in all of existence. Neither awli, neither from the awliya, not from the friends of Allah, nor the sahaba radiallahu anhum, can ever compare to the dust of the Nabi alayhi salatu salam. This man is exceptional. So just because Allah Ta'ala said he was a man, doesn't mean that men are any greater. Trust me. Okay? But what is a man's job in Islam? To go out. To speak to the people. Right? So he's been charged with the burden of leadership. This is the job of the man. And so what happens is what? When you say that he's a prophet who's a man, it means that he's burdened with leadership to go outside. And I want to make it clear that it's a burden. People are like, it's an honor. It's very difficult to make it an honor. Because on the Day of Judgment, you are handcuffed on the on top of Jahannam, on the back of Jahannam, taking your hisab. How could it ever be an honor to have your type of hisab like that? That all the leaders on the Day of Judgment will be burdened like that. You think, mashallah, I'm a husband, I'm a father. Wow, what a great person I am. On the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will ask you, the same way shepherds are asked about their sheep. Allah Ta'ala will say, what did you do about your wife and what do you do about your children? It's no longer an honor anymore, brothers and sisters. Really, it's no longer an honor. You have to understand as parents, really as parents, if we don't raise our kids properly, what's going to happen on the Day of Judgment is going to be a very terrible day. Because Allah Ta'ala will say, I gave you the gift of children and I didn't give it to other people. What did you do with the kids? You made them kafir? You made them disbelievers? You decided not care about their iman and Islam at all, and now look at them. She's married to this man named like, you know, Bill, and this guy married a girl named Rebecca, and then like his entire life has been ruined. Bill and Rebecca, that's all life is about. You know, may Allah save us and protect us. And we need to understand this, that the greatest role in Islam after the prophets and after the scholars, you know, may Allah be pleased with all of them. After the prophets and scholars, the mother is the greatest role in Islam, hands down. The father has been made three times less than the mother. Okay? And then some brothers will be like, Mawlana, come on, I love my kids. I love my kids so much. I know you love your kids. I love my kids too, mashallah. But I'm not going to forget what the Prophet ﷺ said. Okay? What you and I need to understand as men is that think about your own mother. And think about how much she went through. And how much sacrifice she made. And how much she went through in life just to make sure you and I could have a good life. She went through so much crying. You don't even know how many times she cried for you. And mashallah, then what? Then we're supposed to look at our own wives and be like, well, she's a mother too. And she deserves it. She goes through so much stress and anxiety. I can at least listen to her. If she wants to complain, who else is she going to complain to? If I give her my ear and she yells at me, no problem. What's the big deal? This is the sad part, is that we as men, we forget how our mothers were, and then we take it out on this woman that we got married to. Allah to protect us. She is the mother of children, your own children. And yet we decide to yell at her and shame her and embarrass her and degrade her and disgrace her, when she is the greatest role in Islam. Because why? Because you and I can only work on computers. What is this? Technology? It's not living stuff. She works with living beings. She works with humans. She's making a society. And you and I decide to disgrace her like that? May Allah save us and protect us and give us the right understanding. Okay? And I only had to do this is because of the fact that people, unfortunately, they take this ayah and they take the wrong message whatsoever. The main part of this ayah is, O Prophet of Islam, you are a man like all the other prophets, and the people of the book will tell you, for sure, Prophet, alayhi salatu salam, you are definitely like everyone else, and you are a messenger of Allah. That's the point of the ayah, okay? This is the contention number one. Contention number two, you thought it was worse, Mawlana got a little bit more to say. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Ask the people of remembrance if you don't know, okay? The people of remembrance, the people of dhikr. Dhikr means people who have studied, because you can't do dhikr without knowing, right? People who have studied, people who give their lives to study. When the Prophet ﷺ is supposed to go ask the people of knowledge, the people of remembrance, he's going to ask the rabbis who spent their entire life in the midrash, studying their books, learning how to be a good rabbi or whatever. And so then you ask that person and he will know, right? So now here's the thing. When you're supposed to ask the people who have studied, who give their lives to study, and then they practice on what they've studied. You have to see that this, you know, sometimes we ask the person that he might have studied Islam, but this guy really doesn't look like he really practices Islam. Like, you know, I have a little bit of a hunch that you're not that as pious as I think you are. You know, you're putting everything on Facebook and, like, showing how, like, you went to this club or this bar, and then we asked him questions, asking for fatwas. You know, the guy's arms sometimes are bigger than some people's heads, you know, and he wears a chain like this, you know, and then his hair is like this, you know, spiking up like he looks like a mountain, you know, like he looks like someone needs to put, like, a weed whacker on his head, you know. This type of person we ask, you know, that barely has any type of connection to deen, and you're like, I need to ask this man a fatwa. I need to ask this man a fatwa. Okay, you want to know logically speaking, who's worse than that? When we hear this ayah, fas'alu ahla dhikri, we go, fas'alu al-shaykh Google. We decide to go ask Shaykh Google instead. Let me ask Google. Now here's the problem with asking Google, and I'll be real honest again. You are a human being who has human problems and has a certain level of understanding. When you decide to type into your question into Google, Google is just going to give you the most relevant search. You put in some words, and Google will give you the most connected words to whatever you search for. That's what Google does. It is a robot, okay? Does the robot study? Does the robot spend his life studying? Does the robot do dhikr? We're not even practicing the ayah at all. So this is what happens when you decide to look up something on Google. You're actually just looking up the closest case to yours, and you are assuming that that is your case. Okay? We don't know if it's exactly your case. A human being can decide that. The fatwa given to a mufti, and I want to be honest about this. When you decide to send a question to a scholar, you know, who does fatwa, who does the work of sending Islamic verdicts, he has to check your case and see if it matches any of the other cases. And he has so many things he studied, and he's going to replicate or copy your case compared to whatever he's read in the books. And because of that, he can give you a nice verdict. Because he's thinking about you, thinking about your situation, who you are. I'm a guy who has this much finances, this and that. You know, he thinks about everything, and then he gives you a fatwa. And he thinks about you as a human being, as a person. Shaykh Google, if I type in the question and you type in the question, literally he's going to give the same exact answer. So you have to be very careful. If you decide to go and ask Shaykh Google, here's the risk you're taking is, I decided that this fatwa is the right one for me. So on the Day of Judgment, Allah Ta'ala will not question Google. Allah Ta'ala will question you. This is the danger. When you decide to ask the Mufti Sahab, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will not ask you about the fatwa. Allah will ask the Mufti about the fatwa. Right? This is the nice thing about following Abu Hanifa. You know, the Hanafi mother for all our boys here, mashallah. And whoever follows the mother, mashallah. On the Day of Judgment, you and I will go straight to Jannah, and Abu Hanifa will take his hisab. You know, as tragic as that sounds, but he's taking the burden of giving you the rulings. And we make dua that Allah has made him correct on these rulings, of course. But having said that, mashallah, you get to go straight and he has to stay back. And that's why it's not easy. It's not easy giving these rulings, okay? May Allah give us tawfiq, mashallah. Let's get back to the tafsir now, after all these modern headaches, right? وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُونُونَ الطَّعَامِ وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we did not make them bodies. We did not make them, just bodies without souls, that they did not eat food. We did not make them immortal. These prophets were made like you, for you. They are human beings that eat, sleep and drink, have children, marry, all these things. They've been made exactly like you, so it's easy to follow them. Okay, so this is why it's extremely frustrating. Extremely frustrating when people decide to say, but he's a messenger. You know, when I say like the Prophet ﷺ did something. Or, you know, you should have patience like the Prophet ﷺ. Or you should practice like the Prophet ﷺ. They'll say that, oh, but he's a messenger. He's perfect and I'm not. He's perfect and I'm not. Bichara, what you're doing is literally what the Quraysh said. You know, this is what Allah is saying in the Quran. You cannot say he's a messenger, he's perfect and I'm not. You as a human being need to understand that Allah made him a human, so that way you can copy him. Alright, you can't have the same heart. That's obvious. But the actions he's doing, you can do the same exact thing. Allah has made it like that. So we need to understand that the Prophet ﷺ has made a human, so that way we can copy him. As much as we're able to do so, of course. ثُمَّ صَدَقَنَاهُمُ الْوَعَدَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ مَنْ نَشَاءُ وَأَهْلَكْنَا الْمُسْرِفِينَ Then we had made it true. We had confirmed the promise to them. And we had saved them and those whom we willed. And we destroyed the transgressors, Allah Ta'ala says. So Allah is saying about the Prophets, number one, they were made into men. Number two is that they're not made as bodies that don't eat or they're living forever. And then the third thing Allah Ta'ala tells us is that they are given a promise. The promise is that we will save them and we will destroy the people from when they leave, right? Or before they go, the announcement of the punishment will be made. And so the people will be destroyed and the Prophet and whoever followed him will be saved. Okay, so this is the promise that's given to all the messengers, alayhi salam. The Prophet ﷺ is included in this. Quraysh is given a strong warning. If you don't follow him, you don't accept him, then be careful. Because he's a messenger like every other messenger. As soon as the promise comes down, the nation will be destroyed and he'll be saved. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Okay? Laqad, and we'll get to it. There are going to be stories in the Surah of Anbiya, where you're going to love them because they're so extraordinary. Well, Allah shows how he saved people after saving people after saving people. And so this final ayah comes down for Quraysh. لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Surely we have revealed to you all a book that has your mention, has your dhikr. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you understand? Okay, so this ayah has come down for Quraysh, and it's a very beautiful one, and I want you to remember, it's for Quraysh in specific, but it's for us in generality. When we're talking about it, you need to think about yourself. Allah said, we sent down to you a book that has your mention, has your dhikr in it. Dhikr has a couple of meanings. Dhikr can mean your advice. When you say, give me some dhikr, give me some advice, give me some nasiha. And so the idea of the Quran is that whatever you want, whatever advice you want, open the book of Allah, you will find your advice in this book. Number one is, the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala is all in here. Everything you need in this in your life, your instruction manual, whatever you need to be successful is in this book. The first thing about dhikr is your advice. You can read it. It's an amazing thing. It's an honor from Allah that He didn't make it like, for example, the Jews. And for what they received, that they don't even know how to say God's name. They don't know how to pronounce God's name. They say that, you know, they write like G-D, right? Or they write YHWH for Yahweh, right? They don't pronounce it because they're saying we don't know how to pronounce it. Right? They don't know how to pronounce a word in their book. It's crazy. You and I can pronounce every single syllable in this book. And we understand it all well, mashallah. So the first thing is that the zikr means your advice. The second thing it means is your honor. Oh Quraysh, if Muhammad becomes successful, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Quraysh is going to go down in the history books as the greatest of all nations, as the greatest of all tribes. This book, if you can just decide to adopt it and practice it, all Muslims in general, your entire life will be honored. If you decide to become a person of the Quran, mashallah, your janazah will be full. People will be praying your janazah, they'll be rushing to you. They'll see you, everyone who sees you in the community will consider yourself a wali. They will make dua for you, they'll think about you. You'll be an honored person. You've never seen a hafiz who practices the Quran, except people honor and respect that person. Same thing with the alim, the maulana, anyone who practices deen. The honor is in this book, mashallah. And then the third thing is what? Fihi dhikrukum. It could quite literally mean, it has your mention in there. So Mufti Numan Sahib used to tell us, he used to tell us about this ayah. He used to say that if you decide to look through the Quran, you'll find that there is a story that is about you in there. He said, there is a story that is about you in there. You open the book, you'll find you. You are mentioned in this book. Sometimes the ayah becomes so real. I feel like I was being good. Allah revealed it about me. This is how people feel when they read the Quran. It's not just me, Mawla Shakil, saying whatever. Converts, whenever they see, they open the book, you know, they look at it and they say, wow, this, I feel like this verse was for me. Many people send me that. It's like, wow, I think this ayah was revealed for me. Because you are mentioned in this book. It's extraordinary. What about that atheist? You guys remember that story of the atheist I mentioned before? That when he's trying to find a sign from God and he did all these crazy things, he opened the book of Allah, he opened the translation and said, God, give me a sign. He was waiting for all these crazy signs. He opens the translation and his eyes fall on the verse, did we not give you enough signs? You know, ayats are like that. It's your mention. And this is the promise of Allah Ta'ala. Your mention, your zikr, you will be mentioned forever. Because the Quran will never disappear. It will never disappear. Until Allah lifts it up at the end of times, it will never disappear. If you decide to practice the Quran, live by the Quran, adopt the Quran, everything you do in life, think about the lahu you did. You know, think about the video games you played. Think about the this and that, the time you wasted. Can anyone remember all the time they wasted? You can't. The guy will be literally streaming on Netflix and he can't remember what he would just watch last. You know, one of my friends, he told me the other day, he's like, I'm the worst when it comes to watching a movie, he said. You know, we try to make dua for him. He's like, because when you ask me what happened in it, I'm like, yeah, it's about that guy and it happened with this thing and that person. He can't remember the names or anything. You can't remember this stuff. You ask people what they've watched, what they've seen, completely forgotten. What about this life? What about this life? Subhanallah, we're living here 2020, 2021. People think they're so special. Wow, we have the worst time. Everyone's like, I have the worst time. You know what a really bad time was? The Crusaders. That was a really bad time. The Mongols. Terrible time. There were terrible times in history. My life and your life will be completely forgotten after 100 years. Lahu is forgotten. Life is forgotten. The only being that does not forget is Allah. If you decide to practice this Quran, live by the Quran, adopt this Quran, although the whole world might forget you, Allah will never forget you. And He will remind you and He will tell you about everything you used to do on the Day of Judgment. This is, again, the surah is about Qiyamah. He's just telling you, Allah does not forget. And so our job is that we try to live our best for what we were created for. And so Allah Ta'ala provides, and this is the amazing thing about these ayat here, Allah Ta'ala provides with everything that a person needs to accept the guidance. He promises honor to them. He tells them they're special. He says to Quraysh, you are special. You are mentioned in the book. And I promise you, if you decide to practice the Quran, live by it, pray your salah, do your salah, zakah, do your dhikr, mashallah, you will be a person who's remembered. He tells them, you are special to me. And He gave them a prophet like them. He gave a book that mentions them. And He gave them a special miracle that no one else has received. This is the honor to the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. You have a Kaaba, a Qibla that everyone agrees on. Everyone goes to this Qibla. You have a prophet that, mashallah, that everyone accepts. You have a book that everyone accepts. This is a miracle, mashallah, that no one else has received. No other ummah has received. We are very much chosen by Allah. And so Allah is trying to tell us, you're very special to me. I love you a lot. I made you part of the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't put you in this ummah. MashaAllah, Allah is showing us how much He cares about us. Now what is the only thing that will stop a person from accepting this truth? What is the only thing that will stop a person from accepting this truth? And accepting the honor and the special status that Allah has given him? It's arrogance. It's kibr. It's deciding that, you know what, I don't want it. I don't accept it. I don't accept the Prophet. I don't accept him. Because I'm scared that I will lose my dunya. I'm scared I will lose my dunya. When you're telling me to practice Islam, that means I have to give sadaqah, and I don't want to give sadaqah. I don't want to give money to the poor. You're asking me for my money. That means that when the chanda comes up every single year, and the fundraisers come, I have to be the one raising my hand. I don't want to do that, brother. I love my money a lot. I love my life. I don't want to become a religious person, because that's a very boring life. Trust me, I've only had exciting days in life. Reading through these books are very exciting days. I get to debate people, I get to fight people, Christians, atheists, Jewish people, mashallah, it's a very enjoyable life, mashallah. A guy will come up and say, riba's not haram, and alhamdulillah, we bang it out, mashallah, we have a great time. And I think studying the books is one of the greatest things Allah has blessed with, really. And I can't get enough of it. Mashallah, you'll have a great time. The thing is that people don't want to give up their time, they don't want to give up their life. So Allah says, وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ ظَالِمَةً وَانْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. He says, fine, you want to be arrogant. How many societies of wrongdoers have we destroyed? How many societies of people who are oppressors have we destroyed? وَانْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ. And after that we raise other people. And after that we raise other people. This ayah is so profound. Okay? It's civilization after civilization. Who was before the Americans? The actual Americans. The Native Americans, right? There were people before this. Who were before the Native Americans? There were tribes and nomads that came. Who were before them? Right? Who was before, mashallah, not to start any beef or anything like that. I ain't here to attack beef or whatever. Pakistan and Bangladesh. Who was before that? Yeah, we can say it. It was all India one time, mashallah, right? Okay, anyway. He's like, it was East Pakistan and West Pakistan. But okay, whatever. No problem. Okay. I'm just making a point here. What was before India? What was before that? What was before that? This is the crazy thing about human beings. Egypt is such a Muslim country now. Really, it's a Muslim country, mashallah. What was it at the time of Musa alayhi salam? Fir'aun. It was the people of shirk. Civilization after civilization. City after city. Village after village. People keep coming. This world is about people coming. And they all get their chance at this exam hall. Everyone gets a chance to take your imtihan. Take your test. Go ahead. And so how many of them had names, families, ethnicities, cultures? We all have our culture. We all have our civilization. We have who we are. Oh, I'm a Bangladeshi. I'm a Pakistani. I'm an Indian. I'm Misri. I'm this and that. Everyone has who they are. Trust me, the people of Fir'aun were saying that too. They were Qibti. People before us have been saying it. That we are like this. We are like this. Everyone says who they are. That's what human beings are about. But the sad part is this. That after they die, another community comes. And another community comes. Another community comes. Where did your nationality go? Where did your nationalism go? Where did your racism go? It didn't go anywhere. It just went in the ground. Like everyone else in this world goes in the ground. So Allah is saying, person who you're so arrogant, you're thinking you're so special. I've destroyed people after people after people. People after people after people. And I've risen people after them. You're nothing special. After you and I die, who's going to come up next? Another community. And it's going to keep happening till Isa alayhi salam comes, till people are finally taken off the ground, till the honor is blown. Don't think we're so special. Everyone thinks that I'm uniquely special. Everyone wants to be the special snowflake. They're thinking, mashallah, I have the blue passport, I have the bird on my passport, I'm such a special person. Everyone wants to be special. Iblis also thought he was super special too. He was so special that while everyone made sajda, he's like, I want to be the one standing up. Listen, no one has any special right in this world. As insan, as human beings, we all have to pass the test that Allah has bestowed on us. We're all going to pass this test, inshallah. But that means that we don't go and be arrogant, okay? And so then Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا حَسُّ بَأْسَنَا إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَرْكُدُونَ When the wrongdoers sensed our torment, they start to run away from their cities. When the people that love their dunya, they love their world, they love their city, when they realize Allah is punishing them, the earthquake is coming, the wind is coming, something is coming, the virus is coming, people start to panic because they give up their lives to save their lives. So this is the saddest part of, you know, and I think we should take this as a reminder. When the virus was sent down, people gave up everything they used to do. Forget about it. They gave up the bars, they gave up this and that, the casinos. You know, you cannot bring any of the countries in the world to shut down the bars and casinos. Allah Ta'ala did it Himself. He shut it down, because that's how powerful Allah is. Dhul Quwwatin Mateen, you know? And so people give up their lives to save their lives. So at that moment while everyone's running away, the angels of death are coming down. Right? The groups are coming down. They're saying, لَا تَرْقُدُوا وَرَجِعُوا إِلَى مَا أُتْرِفْتُمْ فِيهِ مَسَاكِنِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْأَلُونَ We'll finish on this ayah today, inshallah. It says, don't run away. The angels come down and say, don't run away. Return to your luxuries, come on. And return to your homes, so that you may be asked. Right? The angels are displaying sarcasm. Saying, why are you running away? Come back. Come on, the video games are there. Come on. Come on, life is there. What are you doing? The luxuries are there. Your houses are there. Why don't you come back? You want to be asked, right? You are such a noble person. You like to be asked, right? So these things were there. What happens is what? We get distracted by the luxuries of the world. It confuses us. When we see a luxury, we see something that we enjoy, we think we're here for a longer time. This is the idea. When a person has 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 TVs at home, and he has so many comfortable couches, and he eats so many different types of foods, he thinks, wow, this life is really great. It's really perfect. But we're living in a sandbox right now. Compared to what Allah has prepared in the hereafter, this is just a kids playing around in the sand. We've not experienced anything. So the luxuries confuse them of the truth. And so the idea is, the word is maskan. And I love it, because Allah didn't use the word buyut. So the word is masakinikum, return to your homes, your maskan, which is a house of tranquility after movement. When you use the word maskan, it means a place of sakina. The word bait, when you use the word bait, it means a place you stay at nighttime. So the word bait means something temporary. When I go to my bait, it means I'm going there for night, I'm going to take rest, I'm going to leave again. The bait means you come and go, it's a temporary place. Maskan, because it has sakina. Does anyone want to leave sakina? I'm sorry if that's any of your wives' names. Wasn't my point here. The point was that you don't ever want to leave sakina. You never want to leave tranquility. So this is what happens when a person is distracted. The greatest distraction that Allah is mentioning in the Quran here is the fact that a person has a home. A person has a house. Because what does a person do when they have the house? Right? They start thinking about the walls. They think about the paint. They think about the garage. They think about, you know, the floors. They think about this and that. And they think about the backyard. Oh, I have to pave my driveway. I got to do this. I got to do that. They start thinking about every single thing. Okay, and you're probably thinking, Mawlana is reminding himself. I'm definitely reminding myself right now. This is the most distracting luxury ever. Because why? Because you start obsessing over this one maskan. But the most important maskan, the place of sakina, you're not going to stay in this house forever. The most important maskan is the grave. So Allah is telling us in this ayah very deeply, you're so caring, so concerned about the lights in your house, what about the lights in the grave? You're so concerned about how spacious is your backyard, what about the space in the grave? If you're so cared about, you're so worried about this and this and this, everything's going to go wrong in the house. I don't want any water to come in. I don't want the floor to crack. I don't want any of that. What about your qabr? What have you done for it? What have we beautified it with? What are we doing for it? When the punishment of Allah comes from left and right and up and down, from all over, the punishment is coming. Have we read enough Quran to protect us? Have we read Surah Al-Mulk? What have we done? So the maskan that we need to protect is our graves. And the most amazing part is the final part of this ayah, which Allah tells us about the distraction. That لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْأَلُونَ That you love to be asked. Maybe you want to be asked, right? You will love to be discussed. What is the biggest distraction in life other than the house? Is that a person wants to become famous. A person loves fame. Absolutely loves fame. You're telling me, man, you know, we got an entire guy getting kicked out the White House right now because of the fact that he loved fame. He didn't want to do anything with the responsibilities, right? But that's the idea about fame. People like, if someone were to ask you your opinion, how honored do you feel? Right? It feels so great. Wow, he's asking me for the opinion on this in deen. Wow, look at me. I'm the Mawlana right now. I'm the Alim right now. MashaAllah. People asking me for my opinion. Oh yeah, well, if you ask me my opinion, I think it's like this. Being famous is what Quraysh was suffering from. This Quraysh is the most famous tribe in all of Arabia. They are the ones who take care of Hajj. They love it when people come and say, can we get water? It's like, yeah, sure, I'll give you water. You want food? I'll give you food. You have to be very careful about fame. Because fame will make you think that this is the place to find fame. The real fame is not in this life. The fame is when on the Day of Judgment, in front of all of creation, Allah Ta'ala hands you your book of deeds in your right hand. And you enter into Jannah with the prophets. That is what fame is. Don't get distracted by fame in this world. Fame is like Logan Paul or Jake Paul, whatever Pauls they have. So many Pauls in this world. You know, there was a Paul that was following Jesus too. There are so many Pauls. You know, don't get appalled by these Pauls. You know, just whatever. Let them go. Don't follow the fame in this life. Because it will only distract you from the fact that we have to go into our real maskan, our real grave. And we have to really prepare for the Day of Judgment, which is about to come. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. We'll continue, inshallah, from ayah number 14. And may Allah give us tawfiq to implement whatever we've heard, adopt these things in our lives, give us strong reminders for ourselves. May Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah, to do those actions which will save us in our graves. Do those actions which will save us in the Day of Judgment. And grant us speedy entry into Jannatul Firdaws with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam, Jazakum khairah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.